Good morning. In Teresa's absence this morning, there's a group of us who are your Sunday school members that went to Ecuador this summer, and we want to share a little bit about our experiences with you. I just want to give you a few little facts, and then I'm going to let the team members carry the rest of the time. We had two groups this year that went. One group left. The other group came right on the heel of us. We passed each other in the airport in Ecuador, and we took a total of 38 people from our church this year to Casa de Fe, and we were there for a total of 2 weeks. Counting the group that went this year, we have, from our church, sent 139 people to Casa de Fe. And I'm sure I have forgotten some in my notes. And that's not counting the ones who have been more than once. A lot of people have been more than once, but 139 different people from our church have been to Casa de Fe. And that's a blessing to Casa de Fe, and it's a blessing to our church. I want to pray, and then I'm going to let our group share a little bit, and if they need me to, I'll wrap it up at the end, but I think they got it. Father God, we thank you so much for our Sunday school class. We thank you for our church. We thank you for opportunities that come before us to serve you. Lord, I thank you for Casa de Fe and for the ministry it has to the children of the rainforest. Father, we thank you for the fact that they will take special needs children when most other places won't. Lord, I thank you for their ministry. I thank you for the workers there that love those children so much. They love them so much you can feel it in the room. Father, I thank you for our church supporting Casa de Fe. I thank you for the people that were able to go this year. I thank you for the blessings they gave and for the blessings they received. Father, I pray that you might grow our church in the mission area. Father, I pray that we might feel you pulling us towards missions all over the world. Father, I pray for the ladies that are going to share, Lord, that you might give them the words that you would have them to speak. And I thank you, Father, for all your blessings. In your name I pray. Amen. Rachel's going to start, and we're just going to work our way through the group.
I am not very good at this, so y'all just kind of bear with me a little bit. I don't like to speak in public, and especially not among people that I know. I'm real good at it when I worked and did it among people that were employees, but I don't do it well among people I know. But the main thing I want to hit is God's timing. I had for about 10 years wanted to go to Casa de Fe, and I would tell Connie, I'm going to go this year, I'm going to go this year, I'm going to go this year, and I never went. I would come up with excuses with why I couldn't go, and things would come up, and the main excuse I think that I had, and I found out why I was at Casa de Fe, was my daddy. Any of you that know me, and some of you do know me, my daddy was my world. My daddy, I pretty much so idolized my daddy. My daddy was my heart. And if I had gone to Casa de Fe in the years that I had wanted to go to Casa de Fe, my mind would have been on my daddy and not on the blessings that God intended for me to have while I was at Casa de Fe. So God knew that. And therefore, he put obstacles in my way to where I couldn't go to Casa de Fe when I thought I needed to go. So my heart wasn't ready for the greatness that God had for me. This year it was. And everything just fell into place, and I was able to go. My daddy passed away 2 years ago with dementia. And last year wasn't a good time to go because of the things I was going through with him. But this year, everything was just perfect. And so we got to go, and the minute I walked into Casa de Fe and saw those children, I knew that this was where I was supposed to be. And I knew that God intended me to be there right then. Every night, we did a little thing called Hollow Buffalo. And every single night, when they would go, okay, we got Hollow Buffalo, Rachel was, I got one, I got one. And I wanted to share every single night because I had something every day that was a high and that was a buffalo. I don't think I really had any lows. The only low I had the entire time I think that we were there was that while we were there, my best friend of 52 years lost her mother while I was in Ecuador, and I was not able to be there with her. So that was my low, is that I was halfway across the world from her and couldn't be with her. So that was the only low I had. But there were so many highs. I just can't name them all. Just the smiles on the children's faces, the love that they had for each other, the way they helped each other every single day, played with each other, never seemed to fight over anything. I have two grandkids and they fight over everything. They fight over toys, they fight over this, they fight over that. These children generally love each other and they love you. They want hugs from you every single time you see them. And of course, I was a big giver of a hug. If I were about 20 years younger, there were several of those children that would have come home with me because I just fell in love with them. I also, some of the highs that I had, I mentioned it in one of the groups, was watching the parents of the teenage children that went with us, the young people, thank you, that went with us, and the pride on their face of watching their kids work with these kids. Just, they didn't know I was watching them, but I'm a people watcher, and just watching the parents just looking at their children and taking care of children that have nothing, you know, but they're so full of love, and that just filled me up. Whitney Holmes was one that I shared in the group, and he was dealing with a difficult child that was not because he was bad or anything. He was just full of energy, and he was running Colin and Alex to death all over the place. And Whitney was just sitting in the pool looking at him, and just the pride on her face of watching her son Colin deal with this child was just great. And then the teenagers worked. They worked so hard, and never once did they ever complain. They moved rocks, they moved dirt, and they never complained at one time. And that just touched my heart, because sometimes when I ask my grandkids to pick up a stick out of the yard, you would think, oh my gosh, you know. So that was wonderful. When you're doing work for the Lord, it seems like it's not a big deal. You know, you're glad to do it. And those teenagers were glad to be doing that type of work, and so were all of us. I found a peace while I was at Casa de Fe, being with those children, fellowshipping with our other team members, loving on those children, that I haven't had in a long time. And my daddy was right. That was something that I needed to experience, and I'm so glad that I did. And I know that he was looking down at me, he and Mama, and they were smiling, and they were so happy that I was there. And I brought, you know, a peace with me there to Casa de Fe, having them with me. And I got to see a red bird while I was there, and I know that was them looking at me. And it's something that I'll never forget. And I will be there again next year. Thank you.
More notes than Rachel. I'm not as good a speaker as she is. But so one of the first things I feel like you notice in Ecuador is just when you get there, the weather is a lot different than it is here. You know, you're in the edge of the rainforest. You can only imagine. It's overcast. It's a wet feeling. It's rainy most days, cloudy. Most every single day, it's that way. But more days than not, at some point in the day, maybe at the end of the day, there's a beautiful sunset, or there's a rainbow that comes after the rain. And you see the most beautiful skies that the sun is beaming through. And some of the most beautiful sunsets are seen from that guest house where we stayed, looking back over the children's home. And the mountains are in the background, and you just see the rays of sunshine just shining like it's just coming out of that house down there. Looking back over this trip, the trip this year, you know, I kept seeing that sun, that sunshine that would shine at night, or I even bought a little souvenir sun that they had there. But and then Ava and Lily, they were able to paint on the Forever Home, the iron fence. There were suns in that iron fence that they had made that goes over that. And that just kept resonating with me over the sun and the light. So all these things, they made me think about the light that Casa de Fe, that it is there. The Bible uses imagery of light throughout the Bible to symbolize God's presence, God's truth, God's guidance and hope. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" John 8:12 says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Casa de Fe is being the light in Ecuador. It is so evident. It is so evident as soon as you arrive. The peace that is felt there is amazing. Rachel said that. I mean, you just feel this peace there. And you can feel that God's presence is there, that God's truth is being taught and instilled in those children. The guidance of the people there that they get from the Lord, and the hope that they give these children. It is all there. So it's evident through lots of the aspects of their daily life. I mean, it really just seems in their daily life that is really how God maybe intended it for it to be. I mean, it's a slower pace. All their needs are being met socially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, they have all these whole foods. You know, they're not eating processed foods. They're eating all these whole foods. They get their exercise. Everyone's pitching in. They're unplugged. They're not sitting in front of a screen. So you get that feeling. You know, the children are so fun, just like Rachel had mentioned. You know, they radiate that light through their joy and their contentment. And just like she touched on, there was little to no complaining for the entire time we are there. And I'm sure that's how they are every day. And that's so refreshing to be around. Being a mother of three, coming off a week of preschool Bible school, that's so refreshing just to be around children and adults even, that there's little to no complaining, that they're content. They truly love one another, and it shows. And it's like they're blessing you more than you're blessing them. You go, every time you go on a mission trip, you feel like I'm going to be a blessing, but you always come back feeling more blessed than what you blessed. Because it just puts it in your face. I mean, it's there. You know, you're serving, you're loving on those kids and the people or whatever mission work you're doing. And it just makes you stop and think about yourself. So we talked about the children. So the Tias and the staff. So the Tias are what help take care of the children and the staff, and they have rotations. The staff includes cooks, therapists, teachers, construction workers, all of that, and they're all amazing. How many children? 50, I was thinking in the 50s. So you have 50-something children, and you have all the staff and the people taking care of those children. You have the construction people that are steadily working on the property. So you have all that. So you have this team of two or three cooks with the help of the children that feed all of those people three times a day. I'm talking about from scratch feeding people. That big of meals. I mean, that is a lot of work, and they do that for 9 days straight. Their shift is 9 days, day in and day out. I mean, that just wore me out thinking about cooking that much for that many people. But the therapist, I mean, and they give these children such therapy that is just amazing. I mean, I went 2 years ago, and just to see the amount of progress that some of these children have made just from the great therapy they're getting there. I mean, it is top-notch. I mean, it is great. The preschool teacher, she teaches the preschool there at Casa de Fe while the other children go to school. And she was amazing. I mean, she turned every moment was a teachable moment for her to teach, to pour into those children. And they just loved her and respected her. And so they are all wholeheartedly committed to Casa de Fe and the children. You can just tell that. It doesn't seem like it's just a job for any of them, even down to the construction workers. I mean, they have such respect for the people there and the children as well. They've definitely answered a calling in their life, and the way the Tias interact with the children is so admirable. They show such love and patience, but also discipline, and the children show respect to them. It's just a beautiful picture. Everyone there is such a ray of light that comes together to form a beautiful sun, and that it radiates the love of Christ in such a way that you definitely are changed if you experience it. So I'm so humbled and grateful that I've gotten to experience it personally, and that two of my children and my husband have experienced it with me on the two trips. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Adoption is a great part of our story, my family's story, with our two sons being adopted. And Ava still, to this day, and part of her testimony is that she can share again now that the process of going through the adoption and the things of that helped her to more understand the gospel. That it was just such a real picture for her to see how God adopts us as his children, and we're complete heirs with Christ. Even as a 7-year-old, that helped her to see that. You know, so the orphans, the adoption, is such a picture of the gospel. And we can share that through our experience. But it's such a blessing to experience what God is doing at Casa de Fe, and that we as a team, as a church, that we get to be a small part of that.
I had all week to prepare for this and didn't make any notes, so I literally text myself on the way back from Upward Conference yesterday what I wanted to talk about. Can y'all hear me okay? I feel like I'm really loud, so I'll back up a little bit. I want to share kind of a personal experience that I had between the Lord and myself at CASA. Not really kind of what CASA did for me, but what the Lord revealed to me at CASA. It's kind of a story about, it's kind of difficult to talk about because it's not something to be proud of, but there's, you know, we serve a very gracious and merciful God, so there's a good ending, but it's a story about my being disobedient in love to the Lord. And y'all have heard this, most of y'all have heard this story. I already had a lot of apprehension about going on this trip, and that's kind of a long version of this story that's for another time, but needless to say, the Lord got me there. So anytime that I've ever served in children's ministries, the best way that I know how to serve is through athletics. That's kind of how I connect with the kids. I've been an athlete virtually all my life, so it's kind of how I've leveled the playing field and connected with them, and especially kids that are not my own. So something that you should know about me is that I truly do, I absolutely love to serve the Lord, but I'm just not always a very good servant. And especially, I think that applies to children's ministries, as I had long ago decided that the only way I could effectively serve and connect was through athletics. So we didn't really know, you know, I'd never been to Ecuador. I'd kind of heard stories. Didn't really know what to expect, but I knew that we had a landscaping project, and I knew that there were a lot of kids that we'd play with, a lot of them with special needs and things like that. And so prior to this, I had kind of felt this unexplained disconnect to the Lord. I really didn't know why, but I'd been praying a lot that the Lord would use this trip to kind of just reconnect me with him. And leading up to it, I kind of started thinking, what have I gotten myself into? You know, I'm not a very nurturing mother. I feel like I'm a boy mom for a reason. I mean, literally just Friday, Miss Kathy texted me from Weaker and said, Benji fell and busted his chin, his tooth's bleeding, and we've taken care of him, doctored him up and put ice on it, and just want to let you know, is there anything else you want to do? My first instinct was to say, yeah, tell him to get up and rub some dirt in it, you know? And so, now, I don't want to sound like I'm insensitive, but it's not my area of expertise to be a nurturing mother. So I'm literally thinking, you know, what am I going to do when we go here? There's really no way I can serve. So thankfully we get there and I see this massive pavilion that's covered. It's a soccer field. It doubles as a basketball court. The first day that we were there, the way we interacted with the kids, they had a few hours of recreation. So first thing they do, they come out, they drop a soccer ball. That was great. So I immediately start playing soccer, making connections with these kids. The next day rolls around again, and most of these kids that we're playing with are better at soccer than I was probably in my peak years of my soccer career. And so I guess at double the age I was when I last played soccer, trying to measure up to these kids, I ended up with a knee injury. So I hurt myself. I can't even really explain what happened. I never could tell somebody. I don't know exactly what happened. I just knew I'd hurt myself. So I'm on the ground. It's so bad that I wasn't even sure I needed to get my bearings. I wasn't even sure I was going to get up, or am I going to need to be carted off this court, so to speak. And so I get up and I go and I sit, and I'm kind of just sitting there in my thoughts, and I'm like, okay, it's fine. It hurts. I can at least walk on it. It's going to be fine. I'm just going to do all the things they tell me to do. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be better. So the day goes on and it starts swelling more and more and more. And let me interject this. Connie had asked us if we'd be willing to share, think about sharing maybe our experience getting to Costa de Bay, something at Costa de Bay, and then she asked if anybody would be willing to do a devotion at night. So Stuart had told her, Sarah and I'll do one. I think that was maybe Sunday night. That would have been the night. And I said, I knew I wanted to share. I already knew the Lord had put on my heart I was going to share with them my experience getting to the long version of the story, getting to Casa de Fe. And but I said, there's something else that God wants me to add to this. I don't know what it is yet. So we need a couple days. Let's don't do it Sunday. Let's do it like Tuesday or Wednesday. So Monday's when the injury happened. So I still think, you know, it's going to be fine. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to walk on and play soccer again. I'm still going to be able to serve. So the next day when I wake up and I realize that's not in fact the case, it's probably a little bit worse. I kind of started having some selfish thoughts, and I was like, I'm an avid runner, and so I was kind of like, Lord, am I going to be able to run after this? You know, what's going to happen here? This looks pretty bad. Am I going to have to? I'd talked to Liesl and a couple other people about some knee injury stories and having to have surgery. So in my mind, I'm just like, oh, okay, if I have to have surgery, how many months is that going to put me out? How long is that going to keep me from running? Not thinking about, you know, other ways that I can serve the Lord instead. So those thoughts then eventually transitioned into me having a conversation with God and saying, Lord, why'd you bring me all the way to Ecuador? This is the only way I know how to serve. It's through doing physical activities with these kids. I'm not a nurturer. I don't know why you got me all the way here, just for me not to be able to serve. And so I think it was Tuesday. I was really just kind of having this inner turmoil about it, and I went and got in the shower, which is not normal for me to do in the middle of the day, but I just needed some alone time with God. So I went and I had this really intimate conversation, and the Lord finally revealed to me that all I'm saying is a lot of what I can do, what I can't do, what I'm willing to do, and not what you want me to do. So I felt like I was saying I, me, and not you. So I felt like the Lord was saying, if you'll just stop being stubborn and you'll submit, you know, and you'll listen to me, I'll show you other ways. So what that turned into was I spent time in the baby room, which is, they're not really babies. Most of them look like babies. They're older, but they're really malnourished. And there was one little boy that was 2.5, I think. Gabriel was about 2.5. He looks like he's about 1, but he doesn't talk, walk, crawl, doesn't really have any motor skills at all because of coming there so malnourished, and they're nursing him back to health. But I spent probably 3 hours with him that day. And I don't know if y'all have younger kids that are now older, and if you ever rock a baby and you get the baby to sleep and you're like, oh, I still got it, you know. That kind of happened with me and him, so that kind of was fulfilling to spend time with them. And all the things that are wrong with this child in our eyes, this baby was so content. He never cried. He never, you know, complained, never showed any kind of discomfort. He was just so content the whole time, given all his disabilities. And so that was really humbling to see. I spent time in the preschool, like Kelly talked about, the teacher's amazing, and that was nothing short of a beautiful experience for me. I even did physical therapy with kids, which I thought was never in my realm of abilities to do. I spent time with the older kids that are in the forever home, so they're older, so naturally they're bigger. They require like pushing in these chairs and stuff for their physical therapy. So just saying all that to say that the Lord really did provide a way for me to still serve, and he showed me other ways that I could serve when I stopped being selfish and stopped thinking about me and how I was willing to serve, and instead decided to submit. So I'm going to leave y'all with a couple verses that I feel like kind of sum up my experience. That's Matthew 16:24, when Jesus said, "Anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves," that's me, "and take up their cross and follow me." And then Hebrews 13:20, that says, "He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called." I think there's probably no better mission statement than that from my experience at Casa de Bay.
I don't have many notes. I'm old. I wouldn't be able to remember them, and I probably can't see them anyway. So, and when I say I'm old, at the beginning of this trip, I felt very old because I was the senior by a number of years. I went 10 years ago, and 10 years ago makes a lot of difference. And I loved it then. And I have supported Casa de Fe ever since, not really thinking I would have that opportunity to go again, but we do all have an opportunity to help and to serve, and we're a part of a wonderful church that is mission-minded, and we give. And so 10 years ago when I went, there was one building. It was the Casa de Fe building, and it was the home for all of these kids, where they ate, where they played, a little bitty playground, and then a little schoolhouse in the back. And so it was my grandchildren, Celia and Ross, they came to me and said, "Nana, we want to go to Casa de Fe. You need to go to Casa de Fe so we can go." And I said, "Let me think about it." Well, they kept on, and it was really Ross, because when Celia wanted to go, I didn't think a lot of it. She wants to go everywhere. And but when Ross came to me and he said, "Nana, I want to go too," well, I knew that was a God thing, because that's out of his comfort zone. And so I said, "Okay, we'll go." So when we pulled up to Casa de Fe, it was like 5-6ish in the morning, and I was just amazed at the campus and what God has done through us and all of his other children. Not only was the Casa de Fe building there, bridges that used to wash away over the creeks were arched and metal bridges now, with Bart and Will Thibodeau and some of the workers, they were helping, and they did the completion of the roof and the lighting, so these kids can go from the Casa de Fe building all the way to this big covered pavilion that I think Sarah or Kelly were talking about, where they can play, because it's a rainforest. It rains every day at some point. And so they can get out, and this is a big area, and it's got a soft surface on it, and they can play soccer and basketball and do their little skateboards and just have fun. And so there's a walkway, and it's lighted all the way to there. That's new. There's a... the little schoolhouse is now a big guest house with a common area where the mission people can gather upstairs and share and praise. And then there's the Forever Home. And the Forever Home, like they said, is for children who are no longer children, but they have such special needs that there's nowhere else to go. And so they go there. And even though they're in wheelchairs and strollers are walking with muscular dystrophy and I have crooked hands, and God sees them as perfect. God sees them perfect. And they still come out and stroll in that area and get sunshine, and you're thinking, what's the purpose? They're just in this wheelchair. They're not saying anything. They're not playing. But you know what? I didn't know Spanish. I wish I'd learned before I go. Not many of us did. I learned there is a universal language, and it's love and hugs and happiness and laughter. That's universal. So is sadness. But I struggled last time, 10 years ago, and I struggled this time at the beginning saying, why, God? Why? And in my inner being, I know it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And it was kind of like, Velma, you have a lot of nerve to ask me why. You have a lot of nerve. Why are you so blessed? You've never stopped and asked me, why did you bless me, God? But then the Bible verse came to me that I am confident that the good work that I started, I will see to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And it is through the hands and feet of my blessed children that I bring blessings to these children, and they bring it back to you. And so I have to tell y'all, it's through each and every one of you. I probably, at 70, will never go again. But I will always support it. I have a checkbook. And no matter how little, whether it's $5 or $10, we can make a difference. We have made a difference. We have made a difference. And these children know it. I have never, and I'm telling you, never been in a place where I felt like there was no evil. That entire place, I felt like Satan was banned from there, that there was a hedge around that place. I only felt the Spirit of the Lord hovering over it. And I just can't tell you how that felt. Matthew 25, Jesus said that when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. When you do for the least of these, you have done for me. And that's what I felt. Warren Stamps, he's my rock star. This just may look like a regular rock to you, but when the creek's washing over these rocks and they're shiny and they're beautiful, this rock and I have history. 10 years ago, Phyllis Wallace and Connie and several of us spent most of our time, a lot of our time when we weren't playing with babies, throwing these rocks, and this is a small one because I brought it back in my luggage, throwing these rocks out of a creek up on the bank, and then they would take them, and because they're free and plentiful, they build walls and all kinds of things, their construction out of them. Because Casa de Fe has been blessed this year, and maybe in the years past, but like I said, I haven't been there 10 years. Warren Stamps had 3 dump truck loads of them delivered. My son Clint went the week before I went, and he sent me a picture of one of the rock piles, and he said, this pile has to be moved next week when you come. And I said, son, you better move it before I get there. You know? It was still there. They moved plenty of rocks, but it was still there. And I'm going to tell you, I brought this rock back. I wish that I had had all the children sign it, but I didn't. But my granddaughter and I both brought back a rock. We're going to get together and paint on it and write Ecuador. And I'm going to keep it because it represents some rock stars to me. We took some teenagers, and I am going to tell y'all, they did what they would have never done at home, but Velma did what she would have never done at home. I did what I pay somebody to do at home. But Warren Stamps kept saying, "We're doing this for the Lord, and isn't it easy?" Well, I don't know about that. We were doing it for the Lord, but if you know me, I'm pretty stubborn. And so I hurt, but I wasn't going to let not one of them know it. I grabbed that wheelbarrow with a load of rocks, and my grandchildren would say, "Now get a thing. I mean, get out of my way." And I carried as many as I can carry, and I was sore, but I popped Advil, and I never said a word. The last day, we were saying goodbye to the big ones, and there was a lot of crying going on from us because we just felt the bond and the spirit and the love, and we were leaving. I'm not sure why from them. They enjoy loving on everybody, but I did notice that day that we were saying goodbye, the big ones were kind of hanging a little more to the older ones when they had been hanging a little more to the teenagers. And my heart just stopped. Oh, they're thinking maybe somebody will take them home, you know, because they are so cared for. I'm telling you, their hair is clean and it's braided, and they're just so well taken care of. That didn't happen several years ago. You know, they were still taken care of, but the funds were low, and they didn't get meat all the time. But right now, God's people's answering calls, and they have the funds, and they're being fed better and everything. It's a great place, a wonderful place. And you can watch the Tias, and they don't just care for them. They play with them. They love on them. They spend, you know, they go the extra mile with them. It's still probably not a home with a mama and a daddy. And, you know, it's just different. But God provides. He provides. And He will continue to provide. And but He's going to use us. We're going to be His hands and His feet and His heart. And so we just need to do what we can. Mine won't be going again, but I can do other things. I can pray, and I can give, even if it's just $5, and be a part of that good work that God's doing. This rock also represents praising the Lord, because in Luke, Jesus says, if we don't cry out praises to the Lord, the rocks will cry. This rock was beautiful, but it did not have to cry out that week, because we had Brooks Wells. She brought her guitar, and we sang praises at night, and shared with each other. And so I'm just sharing with y'all, God's spirit is in that place, and He wants us to be a part of it. And it is such a privilege to be able to have God done His work. Take my grandchildren. Leah Stewart said, "Velma, you're hard on your grandchildren. Quit being so hard." I said, "Mm-mm. I'm not hard on them. They know I love them. They know that I would do anything in the world for them." But they weren't on summer youth trip, and Connie wasn't there to crack a whip, so I just had to do it, you know. So I wasn't hard on them, but the first day was kind of touch and go. They were in culture shock. They didn't know what to expect. And so I'd be like, "What you standing there for? If you don't want to go, you know, go play with a child, go get the wheelbarrow, go do rocks, go to..." And Leah was a lot sweeter about it than I was. But after the first day, and they found how good it felt, I didn't have to say anything else. They were doing it. And when at first Ross was like, "Now, what's the purpose of doing this flower bed behind this forever house?"
You know, why do we need a flower bed?
But when it was finished, because everybody wanted to see completion, so when it was finished and we saw the Tias and the Forever students, Forever people and kids on that patio in the back, and the kids were saying flower, you know, they realized it was just a little piece of the Garden of Eden, just a little piece of heaven that they got to see and enjoy. And it was just, if you have the chance to get to go, go. It'll make a difference in you, whether it does them or not. You'll get a wonderful blessing. If you do not get that chance to go, but you have a chance to give, do that, because you will know that 100% of what you give, I promise you, 100% goes to Casa de Fe. I know the people on this, I hope, extended board, and if postage is 50 cents, they pay the 50 cents. So everything you give will go to them. And if you can't give it, please pray. Thank you.
I can't add anything more. I've got a big old lump in my throat, so I have nothing else to tell y'all but that if you want to go, contact the church office. We do go every year. I did not think there was any way on this earth we could take 38 people to Casa de Fe this year, but the Lord made it happen. So think about it. Pray about it. If you want to go, call me. If you have questions, I can answer them. Call any of them. They have answers for all your questions. It's a wonderful experience. And thank y'all for supporting us and letting us go. And that's all we got. You are dismissed.